Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, you are everything and more, Father. What a privileged people we are today. Lord, when we hear what Peter said, he talked about like precious faith. Father, we declare to you that our faith is the most precious thing that we possess. If we did not have faith in you, we would be lost. We would be strangers from the covenant. We would be condemned to a meaningless life now and to an eternity of separation from you in torment. But you, when we were afar off, drew near by sending your Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh, that we might become the righteousness of God. I pray, Father, that in this short time we have together this morning, that it will dawn on us in a fresh and increasing way the power of the covenant we have, the power of this endless life to which you've called us heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Give us ears to hear, Father. Give us eyes to see, to behold. Hearken and behold, says our Lord. Give us those spiritual eyes and those spiritual ears that we might hear what your Spirit is saying to us as individuals as well as corporately. And give us the heart to receive and the will to obey. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, choir. You know I don't want to embarrass you, Gloria, because I mentioned you in the first service, but I just videoed Gloria. Because whenever I feel down, I'm going to just watch this young lady as she does more with her arms and her body and her mouth and that smile which is bigger than my head. You're all wonderful, and I'm not putting anyone above everyone, but Gloria, you are such a blessing to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Well, I'm hoping, because I found out during the intermission that you're streaming this message. I'm hoping that there's some people in Salisbury and in Britain who are possibly watching now online. And I greet you from Abuja, the Capital Assembly, in the name of Jesus. And you're welcome to be with us. Am I right, church?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Wow, what a fellowship. You know, the Lord is able to save by many and by few. And I've been in some pretty big churches in my time, in Lagos and in Nigeria and in Abuja. And you're a small church in numbers, but one, you've got a big heart. And I see that, the way that you're reaching out. But you're also amazingly technically developed. These little boxes around the place, they look like Doctor Who's TARDIS. They're full of high-tech wizardry. And it's very, very impressive. Hallelujah. For those who, anybody who wasn't here for the first service? You're all here for the first service? Wow, you're keen. You've come back for more. So I don't need to tell you that I am Ayaluwa Dadino Bangiji Onichineke Buweke Majala. Is that right? Okay, well, I won't tell you that I'm Ayaluwa Dadino Bangiji Onichineke Majala. Hallelujah. Home. Yes, I've got a surname as well. And it's not Holmes. It's unfortunate my name is Home because I own the domain name for my full name without the Nigerian names. But I'd never tell anybody because they always put, in fact, it's been done this morning, I've been introduced as John Holmes, but there's no S on my name. And John Holmes was a notorious pornography star in America who died of AIDS. So because I own the name johnholmes.com, I don't tell people because if I do, they put the S on the end, they end up at a website that is less than edifying. You understand? So what I've done on my website, johnholmes.com, is I've put a warning that if you push this button, you do at your own risk. And I'm hoping that people who intend to go to this pornography site forget to put the S on, and then when they push the button, it tells them to repent. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Right, well, this morning in the first service, I spoke about the responsibility of the church to be fruitful, and I spoke from a little bit from Isaiah 58, and I spoke from Corinthians about 2 Corinthians 9, where God is able to make all grace abound towards us, that we may abound in every good work. So that's us as individuals experiencing fruitfulness in our life. And I would say that that's probably the most singularly important thing we can do. If you own a vineyard and you've got vines that don't produce fruit, but they still suck up all the goodness out of the ground, then you're going to cut them down. Would you agree? And by the way, I do like feedback, so please be free to shout or scream or say no if you don't agree. I don't mind. I like a bit of heckling. Hallelujah. I'm a street preacher. A street preacher in England, you don't get any affirmation on the streets. They throw things at you. They threaten you. The police arrest you. It's not like it used to be when Britain sent the gospel to the nations. We've now become an apostate nation. So it's a joy to be here amongst people that I don't have to strive with just to talk about Jesus. Amen? But because we're living in times now where there's all kinds of alternatives to the gospel, you know, people didn't have anything to do in the past. They would go to church or go to some meeting because it was either that or go down to the pub and get drunk. But now you've got internet, you've got TV, radio, all kinds of sports and activities. There's lots of distractions. And I believe that sometimes we need to have the wisdom of a snake to be able to get under the skin. I said earlier this morning that if I'm on a long-haul flight and somebody asks me what I'm doing, what I do for a living, I tell them I'm a reconciliation broker. If I tell them I'm a preacher, if they're Caucasian, that's the end of the conversation usually. Not always. But if I tell them I'm a reconciliation broker, they say, what does one of those do? Then that gives me full license to tell them what I do for 10 hours. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, there's a wonderful verse in Proverbs. It's Proverbs 8, verse 12. It says, I, wisdom... Hello, are you waving to me? No? I keep the hand. I see the hand going up. Is that for me? No, not for me. Okay. I thought, I am loud enough, aren't I? You can hear me. You don't have a problem with two small speakers in this place. Your speakers are very, very adequate. I have an earplug in my ear when I'm sitting in the congregation. Hallelujah. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. You know, I said also this morning, I'm not a person of great natural resources. I have no money. I mean, I live from day to day, and that's perfectly fine because God promises He'll meet our needs day to day, right? And sometimes I don't start work till the 11th hour of the day, and I get paid the same and before those who've worked all day. That's my sort of job. Amen? Oh, come on. Wouldn't you like a job like that? You start 1 hour before you finish, and you get paid the same as the people who started 11 hours before? Ah! Amen. So you see, it's not how hard you work, in a sense, it's how smart you work. But we're not talking about this smart, we're talking about this smart. And there's a verse that I would encourage you today, a verse that you know, as Africans, that they don't even know about in England. It's a secret. And it's not in the other translations, it's only in the King James, or mostly. I think it's in the New King James. But most translations omit this verse, or they change it so it's not recognizable. And they're missing out so much on it. And it's a favorite verse. I know you know it. Daniel 11:32. The people that know their shall be and do. Abi? Shabi? Benny? Benny? Hallelujah. But the thing is, in my experience, many believers love the verse, but they're not doing exploits. Are you doing exploits? When I say exploits, exploits to me means adventures. You know, I'm a man. I like Indiana Jones. I like James Bond. I like Gladiator. I'll tell you a couple of testimonies, right? First one is, who here has heard of X Factor? X Factor. Yep, you've heard of X Factor. Anyone else heard of it? Yes, you have. I can imagine you have, you lot. Yeah, you've probably been on it, right? Have you been on it? No? Not yet. Okay, second question. Does anybody possibly in this congregation support Chelsea? Wow. There's more supporters of Chelsea here than there are in London. Okay, has anybody here who supports Chelsea actually been to their football ground? No. Stamford Bridge. Okay, I have. I have a Stamford Bridge testimony. Do you want to hear it? You sure? Okay, I'll come down there. Because I need to, you know, yeah, loosen up. I'll tell you what happened to me. My daughter, I have two daughters, one is 26 and married, three, two children, and a younger one. My older one said, Daddy, when she was little, I guess she was about 15. She called me Dad, actually. The younger one calls me Daddy. But she called me Dad. She said, Dad, I want to take part in X Factor. And I said, no, you don't, darling. She said, yes, I do, Daddy, or Dad. And so we had a debate, or we discussed this for several days, because you see, and listen to this, success will kill you far more quickly than failure. Huh? You know, look at someone like Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber was a Christian. He was a young man that lived a clean life and went to church, but the problem was he had a good voice. So when he started singing, and immediately, bang, he went from 0 to 100 in seconds. And then the engine packed in on his aircraft and he started going down and down. He didn't stop at 0, he carried on down and down. He's been arrested for all kinds of things. For disgusting behavior. Depraved behavior. He started off saying he believed that sex was for people who are married. And then he said, oh, well, it's for people who got a, you know, love. They love each other. And it's just gone down. He's been caught with prostitutes and everything else. You see, success killed him. But failure doesn't kill people. Look at Joseph. Joseph had a dream and he shared it with his brothers and trouble started. And the whole of his life went doink, 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 doink. Then it got here and went up in Potiphar's house. And then he got accused of attempted rape. He's go down again. And when he's in the prison, he's forgotten about by the prisoner after he's interpreted the... Oh, he got to the top of the prison. And then he got forgotten about by the butler. Voop, he's down again. Until Psalm 105 says, the word of the Lord came to pass. And the Lord released him. Hallelujah. And what did he do? He made him prime minister of Egypt, the most powerful empire at the time on the face of the earth. In one day, he went from prison to prime minister. But it took 13 years, really, the 13 years of being killed by God and by the circumstances of his life, of rejection, of whatever you call, it's not infanticide, but of your brother's peercide or something. No, your brother's, your sibling aside. That sounds good, doesn't it? Sibling aside. They wanted to kill him initially, and then they sold him into slavery. But you see, when his brothers came into Egypt, he said, you didn't send me here. Who did? God did. Hallelujah. So success. Be wary. Don't aim for success. Aim for God. Aim for his purposes, however big or however small. There's a man called Ananias in the Old Testament. He went to a house in Straight Street, to a house of Judah, and in it he found a man called Saul, who God said, go and lay hands on him, he might receive his sight. He says, wait a minute, Lord. That guy wants to kill us. He said, don't worry. He's my chosen vessel to bear the gospel amongst the Gentiles. And I've shown him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Then there was Barnabas, who took the risk and took him to the apostles. You don't hear much about Ananias in the future. You never hear about the two men that load him in the basket over the wall of Damascus. But they were heroes. Because I don't care what you say, but I think the most wonderful books in the Bible, for me, the way that I should think, are not the Old Testament, they're not the Gospels, they're the epistles of Paul. Because they show me how I can think. They teach me about the new covenant. They teach me about the promises. They teach me who I am in Christ and how I can live and what I can do. And if it hadn't been for those two people taking that risk, who never even get mentioned again, there would have been no Apostle Paul. That's greatness. That's greatness. But I also believe we can have fun. Amen? I enjoy my Christian life. Look, I can't accept when I look in the mirror that I am who I look like. I looked at me seven, eight years ago, at, I don't know, midnight last night, I saw me on my boat. I sailed around Britain by myself. Can you imagine that? So 4 months. How did I do it? I don't know. I just got the idea one day. I thought, you know, people need to hear about John Wesley and George Whitefield. So I got a wig and I got all the costume and I went around the nation preaching in the streets. And I met a church in Aberdeen called the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Jesus House. And I took a heroin addict onto my boat. And I even bought him heroin for a week so that he didn't go cold turkey on me out at sea. And he got to the next port and he, without me knowing, threw his heroin in the sea. And the next day received Jesus. But he didn't get delivered at the time. So he ended up going back to Aberdeen and begging for money to get heroin, even though he was now a believer. And a black woman, an African woman, who always gave him money when he was begging, the next day she gave him an invitation to her church, Jesus House. So when I go to see him to encourage him, he gives me the card and I phone up the pastor and say to the pastor, look, will you take care of this man? Yes. And then he said to me, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm going around Britain on my boat to remind people of what God has done in the past in this nation. He said, well, you minister in our church on Sunday? I said, yes. The next year, he invited me back. The next year, he invited me back. The third year, the Lord gave me a word for the nation, and the only person I could think to share it with was this pastor. So I flew up. I got an aircraft. Yeah, I know. I got no money, but I got an aircraft. How bizarre is that? So I flew up to Aberdeen, and I met the pastor, and I shared the vision with him. And he said, I'm going to introduce you to a man called Pastor Agu Iruku. Pastor Agu Iruku is the head of RCCG in the UK. When I went and met Pastor Agu Iruku 6 weeks later, he opened up the entire church network to me and said, go and tell the people what God's put in your heart. Hang on a minute. All I did was get on a boat and start sailing around Britain by myself, and people going, he's crazy, he's crazy, he's crazy. I don't mind being crazy. I'm happy crazy. A lot of people are miserable and they don't think they're crazy. Did you know 25% in people in England have got mental health problems? 25%! Because they've rejected God. It'll only get worse. They've got a hole here. It's God-shaped, and they're trying to fill it with everything but Him. And we need to tell them. But we also need to declare, according to Ephesians 4, it says, to the intent that by the church should be declared to the principalities and the powers the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen? There's another term in there. Okay. So Daniel 11:32 says, the people who what? Know their God. Know their God. That's the key word in there. It's not the exploits. It's not the do. It's the know. You know, in the New Testament, there's two words for knowledge. There's the word gnosis, where we get Gnostics. And they were off the wall. And there's another word called epignosis. And that means revealed knowledge. When Jesus said to Peter, said to the disciples, who do people say I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood does not reveal this to you. In other words, you did not get this from the University of Jerusalem. You got this by revelation from God. I imagine there's quite a few people here with master's degrees. I imagine there's a lot of people here with bachelor's degrees. They'll be here with people with A-levels, or whatever you call them, and O-levels. When I left school, I left with one O-level. I've got one more since. I am educationally unlearned and ignorant. Ha-ha. But I've been trained for 31 years by a different university. The University of the Kingdom of God. And though I may not know all of the science and all of the physics, though I do take a keen interest in that stuff, I know that I'm wiser than my peers, because it's not this that matters, it's this. And if this and this are in agreement, it is a formidable weapon in the earth. And the other thing I know is that I need to be simple, childlike. Matthew 18 says, unless you become like this child, you will not enter the kingdom of God. So I believe in exploits. Because I believe in them, I expect them to happen. Do you expect them to happen? Yes, sir. Hallelujah. I want to share with you a short testimony. I'll get back to the X Factor later, but this other one is probably more relevant at the moment. About 1997, I watched television, and I saw on television this flying machine. And it's like a big parachute that a person has above him, but they have an engine on their back. It's called a paramotor. Now listen to this. This is important. When I saw this device, my immediate thought was, wouldn't that be a great way to preach the gospel? You fly over people's houses with a megaphone and just boom the word of God down to them. It wasn't, wow, that looks exciting. I could be like James Bond. Oh, it's Batman, isn't it? Sorry. It was, I could use it to preach the gospel. So I got it in my head that that would be a great way to preach the gospel. 2 days later, I'm driving to work, and there's a man hitchhiking. You see, the key to the kingdom's very often not in our hands, they're in someone else's hands. And when we meet those persons, they give us the keys. But if we don't connect with that person, we don't get the keys. So I stopped for this man, got in the car, and accelerated up to 60 miles an hour so that I could preach the gospel to him, and he can't get out. Actually, Brother Femi has got the perfect car. Haven't you, Brother Femi? And Sister Funky. You can't get out of the passenger side. The person has to come around the other side and open the door. So if they pick you up, you are not getting out until you've heard the gospel. Amen? Hallelujah. So I'm driving along and I speed up and I need to speak to the man and ask him some things about himself so I get an entrance with the gospel. And I said to him, what do you do for a living? Ladies would say, how many children have you got? Men say, what do you do for a living? And he said, I teach people to paramotor. Uh-huh. I'm trying not to look totally astonished. And I said, how many people in Britain do what you do? He said, there's four of us. 2 days earlier, I'd never even heard of this. And now I'm picking up one of four people out of 65 million that teach people how to do it. Wow. Ooh. Now, my immediate thought when I thought about using this was to fly inside Wembley football ground during the FA Cup final, preaching in the inside of the bowl. Now, oh my goodness. Oh dear, I'm sorry. The problem is, it was before 9/11. If it had been after 9/11, I wouldn't make it. They'd shoot me down. But anyway, I asked this guy all these questions. And when I got to his airfield, he said, wait here. And he went off and he brought back a VHS video. And he gave it to me. He said, there, that'll tell you everything you want to know about paramotoring. So I went to work and I said to the boss, I was the sales director, and I said to the boss, how about the company sponsoring me to preach the gospel from the air? He's not a Christian. What? I said, watch the video, you'll understand. I hadn't even watched the video myself. I just gave him the video. The one that the man who I'd picked up on the way gave me that morning. So anyway, a couple of days later, my boss came back to me and he said, listen, John, he knew how to motivate me. He said, I've been thinking about what you asked. I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I love the word deal. Aha. I was a salesman for 18 years in IT. I said, what's the deal? He said, you get £480,000 worth of sales. That's $500,000. It's about $750,000 worth of sales in 2 months, and we'll buy whatever you want. So my prayer was this. Are you listening? Father, if you want me to preach the gospel from the air, I need £480,000 worth of sales. It wasn't, oh Lord, I'd really like one of these cool machines to fly around with. Uh-huh. It was, if you want me to preach the gospel from the air. So the target was 480,000, and I got 481,000. Hallelujah. Now, amen. So he was true to his word. He gave me a blank check. I went out. I spent £8,000 of the company's money, bought the equipment, bought the training, everything else. The problem was I kept driving 2.5 hours to where the training was, and they cancelled it because of the weather. I did this for 2 weeks. I did 10 hours of driving and no flying. But you don't have to actually have lessons. Now, I don't recommend that you try flying without lessons. But I did. So I get the books, I watch the videos, and I give it a go. And I keep breaking propellers and cutting the lines that hold me up. But in August 1997, I was driving back from my office and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, tonight you will fly. So I phoned my friends up and I said, I'm going to fly tonight. The Lord's told me, meet me at this field. So they got there, we got all the equipment set out, and I said, let's pray. I didn't pray for Journeying Mercies. I didn't know anything about them at the time. I hadn't met you lovely people. So I prayed, and out of my mouth, I heard myself asking God for courage. Not for safety, courage. And I thought, that's a strange thing to pray for. I'd never done that before. Anyway, we prayed. I started the engine. And I started running into wind. Next thing is, I'm going up. I'm going up at 500 feet a minute. That's 150 meters, 160 meters a minute. And I'm watching the ground disappearing below me. And I remember saying to myself, now what do I do? So what happened then? I'll tell you what. Why don't we watch the video and see what the TV made of it? Okay. Would you like to bring it up, gentlemen? And not too loud this time, please. It was far, far too loud on the last film. Thank you. Hallelujah. No, Gloria, I need to see you. I need to see your smile. Hallelujah.
Defending the beaches, archaeologists accuse a council of wanton vandalism.
And it's down to earth with a bang for the preacher who took to the skies.
And a prayer to preach the gospel. But instead of spreading the word, he spread panic among people living on a housing estate below. John Home, who's a lay preacher at Salisbury, strapped a contraption called a paramotor to his back, intending to fly over the city, booming the word of God through a microphone. But it didn't go quite to plan.
Preaching the gospel from on high, but not for long. John Home diced with death as he weaved in and out of houses at Castle Road in Salisbury. Gone from sight, and they think they've lost him. But fate smiled and he survived.
Well, I didn't really have too much time to think about what I was doing. I just did it, really, and I relied on my instincts. And I also believe that God showed himself strong on my behalf, because I kept my nerve and I flew between the houses, straight through one and then through another, and I was negotiating between them all the time, going upwards at the same rate as the houses.
The approach wasn't ideal. It was touch and go. But he kept his nerve and survived unhurt. It wasn't only the Lord who joined him for a safe landing. He was arrested and ended up in court with a fine of more than £1,000 for flying too close to a populated area.
I had no idea he was in trouble. I just thought he was mad, because it seemed so comfortable,
self-assured
of what he was doing.
He obviously acted in a very non-aviation manner. It was quite reckless, in fact. And he's very, very lucky. Not, of course, damage to himself and to other people's property.
Hallelujah. Let's stop it there, shall we? Praise God. There's a lot more to it, and I've given the links to the pastor. He's watched them anyway before he met me, so he already had an impression on me, I guess. Now, let me tell you why I'm sharing this. I got taken to court for flying through people's gardens. I didn't intend to, but I wasn't really very skilled at flying this thing. It was my first flight. I was like the Wright brothers. And the houses were built on a steep hill. And though I was climbing the same speed, because the wind was pushing me, I was climbing the same speed as the houses were going up. So I was only about this height from the ground. There was one lady washing her dishes, and I went straight in front of her kitchen window. Imagine it. So I got prosecuted for low flying, and I went to court and said guilty, because I was. But then there was a journalist came to the court, and he wanted to go home. He said, so what's your story then? I said, well, I wanted to tell people the good news about Jesus. And it didn't quite go according to plan, and he started to take attention. And then I told him how the company bought it for me and etc. And I gave him the story, and I went on business to Israel. And when I came back the next week, it was the front page of the local paper. But the next day, it was front page of two of the national papers, and I had 65 telephone calls from TV networks, radio networks, etc., wanting to do live interviews with me on TV. And there is a live interview later on in this clip. And all the others, that was on prime time TV. And they're asking me, so basically, why do you want to do this? And I'm saying, because I want people to know Jesus. And I'm preaching on, you couldn't have paid for it if you wanted to. It would have cost millions, and it would only have been advertising. Then the Germans decided to make a documentary. They liked the eccentric English people, yeah? Yeah? And so they sent this guy over, and he spent 10 days making a documentary called The Flying Prediker, The Flying Preacher. I got a son-in-law through it. I've got two grandchildren as a result of it. I got a co-pastor through it. Millions of people. They showed this documentary 19 times across Europe. And this is what the Lord said to me. Are you ready? John? Because he knows my name. Ah! He knows your name. John, you asked me to preach the gospel from the air, and I've given you the airwaves. Amen? Amen? He gave me the airwaves because I'm a fool for Christ. Not because I'm an intellectual, brilliant academic. And there's nothing wrong with being an intellectual, brilliant academic if you've submitted that to Jesus. But he picked, most of the people that he picked were people who were ignorant, unlearned fishermen, tax collectors who were despised. But people like Nathaniel who would just say it as it was. You can have everything. But he also chose Paul, of course, the great, great academic. But he had to break him. He had to spend 3 years in Arabia. He was a murderer. He was a man that was a very unsavory character, but he was of zealous unsavory character. But when he met Jesus, he kept his zeal, but his zeal was transformed into a life of declaring and establishing the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hearts of people. Though he suffered many times, he counted it what? Dung, that he might know him. Hallelujah. So my point is, my friends, that every single one of us here can do exploits for him. I think it is worthwhile just sharing this X Factor. Do you want to hear the X Factor testimony? Okay. So we arrive at Ashton Gate. No, is it Ashton Gate? What's the name of the football stadium? Stamford Bridge. I don't interested in football. I arrived at Stamford Bridge with my daughter at 5 o'clock in the morning. There's already 500 people there waiting to sing, to have their lives changed. By the way, I reckon if you lot went there, you'd get through. You're wonderful. Have you got a wonderful choir? Do you think you've got a wonderful choir? I'll let them know. Amen? Hallelujah. And I don't mean just because they can sing well, but they've got a beautiful spirit about them as well. By the time the gates opened at 8 o'clock, there was 5,000 people probably there already. As we walked in through the gates, they had ushers. And they asked everybody a question. And when they asked me the question, I said yes. They said, are you taking part in the X Factor? And I said yes. But I hadn't even thought 5 seconds before I was going to say yes. And my daughter, when I said yes, went, Dad? Because he knows me. If you're watching, Jess, hello, sweetheart. And so we went through all the stuff for the TV, and then we had to make, there were 6 lines. And you had to stand behind in line to sing to this judge. A chorus and a verse of any song you like. So I got in front of this guy. I think he was probably a Pakistani or something. He was Middle Eastern. And if that was the case, then possibly or probably he was a Muslim or a Hindu. And I said to him, well, it looks like I'm one of the oldest taking part today. And he smiled at me condescendingly and said, give it your best shot. In other words, let's get this over with. I want to get on to the next one. Now, I'm a street preacher, and I know that you don't just go full blast, otherwise you'll wreck your voice. You start off and you build up quickly. I've got one verse and one chorus to get the volume up. So I start. Hallelujah. Take it away, maestro. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. But I'm belting it out, and by the time I get to the end of the verse, the 5,000 people, they can't hear the other people singing because I'm so loud. There's no microphones, okay? The people behind me are throwing money at me. Coins. Not like you have notes, we have coins, small, you know, we have notes as well. And when they throw money at you in England, it's not a compliment. It means take the money and go. But at least there was some acknowledgement from them. The judge, his eyes were going, and he wasn't appreciating this wonderful song. Now, who here has watched the film Gladiator? Come on, somebody wants to watch Gladiator. Own up. Ah, good to see a pastor's watched it. Excellent. Well, Gladiator, as I'm singing this, the word of the Gladiator came to me. If you want to win your freedom, you've got to win the crowd. That's what the leader of the Gladiator school said to Spaniard. So when it came to the chorus, I turned my back on the judge and I faced the 5,000 people in the stand. And this is what I did. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art. There's a tapping on my shoulder. How great thou art. I got a vibrato from the tapping. Eventually I turn round back to him and he's going like this. Stop! Stop! But the rules are one verse and one chorus. And I'm going to finish my chorus. Now, then the word of Elvis Presley came to me. You remember when Elvis Presley sings it? You see, most people, they sing it like this. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. But Elvis Presley. Then sings my... I didn't bother with the hips. Soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how football stadium. The judge got his pen and he went, vroom, vroom. Now, that might have been the letter X, but it didn't mean I had the X factor. It meant I was out. But this is what happened next. The crowd started booing the judge. I hadn't won the X factor, but I'd won the crowd. Amen? And the reason I'm sharing this is because every single one of us could have done something like that. You can tell I'm not a good singer. I'm not a singer. My daughter can sing. She, by the way, she was way away. And by the way, she didn't get through either. Sorry, Jess. If you're watching. Because I was pleased she didn't get through. Because I love her so much. The last thing I want to do is her to be defiled by the world. Amen? She sings for the gospel. She sings for the kingdom. Now, if she might have done great. She might have got through and she might have stuck to it. But she was only a young lady. Young girl. And you as parents, you want to protect them as long as you can, right? Hallelujah. My dear friends, the people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. When I prayed that prayer, God, give me, Lord, give me courage, I didn't realize I was going to be facing death. I was aiming at these houses. I could not get over the roofs. I could see them ahead of me. I wasn't climbing fast enough. I knew that if I went into them, it'd like a fly smashed up against the wall. Splat. But there was a gap between the houses. So I went through the gap. If you've been to London, they'd always say on the underground, mind the gap. Well, I went through the gap. And when I went through the gap, there was a house ahead of me, so I had to pull this string here, and that turned me left, and then right, and it's like a chicane. Now, the irony is that I'm now a commercial pilot. I have an instrument rating. I have an aircraft that I use all around Europe. It's only a 4-seater aircraft, by the way. It's not a jet. I get very embarrassed when people introduce me as a person who got a jet, because that says I'm suggest that I'm living a life of Riley, as we say, luxury. I have a 39-year-old aircraft. I went to a wedding in Belgium a few weeks ago. The pastor's a friend of mine. He's in charge of Redeemed in Belgium. He said, we've got a pastor. We want to honor him. He's been such a faithful pastor. Will you come over and take him and his wife for a flight on their wedding day? I said, sure. It is actually up on YouTube, but unfortunately it's too late now. And so what happened was, I turned up, went to the wedding, and he announced it from the pulpit. And the bride, she was probably going, oh. Fortunately, she wasn't Nigerian. He was, but she wasn't. She was from Congo, I think. Anyway, we went for a flight, and I got a video of her walking through the airport with her husband carrying her train behind her. And we went for a flight around the country. I'm now privileged to have this plane. It's an old plane, but it's much quicker. The young man who was here earlier, his name's Olu Ogunbodi, he works in Cambridge. I live in Salisbury. To get from Salisbury to Cambridge is 3.5-hour drive. To fly is 45 minutes. So guess how I get there? I fly. And you know, tomorrow evening, who's going to be here tomorrow evening? Just a few of you. If you want to really learn how you can walk in a spiritual plane that is higher than most, I would thoroughly recommend that you come tomorrow. Because I'm going to use flying to illustrate there is a way. There's two ways to fly an aircraft. You fly using sight, it's called visual reference, or you fly using instruments, called instrument flight. When you fly with visual reference, you are so restricted what you can do by the weather, by all kinds of rules and regulations. But when you fly on instruments, you're free. The Christian life, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My dear friend, I wanted to tell you now, the Christian life is very, very, very easy. If you're not enjoying a Christian life, and if you're finding it hard, if you're finding intense labor, then you're not doing it right. It's not meant to be like that. Jesus never said it was hard. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And of course, I illustrated earlier on about the man who at the 11th hour turned up at the marketplace for work. He did 1 hour's work and he got paid. It's not about our efforts. It's about him in us, the hope and glory. You see, when Adam sinned, the Lord pronounced a curse. And he said, the ground, you will, by the sweat of your brow, you will toil to make a living. One of the most blessed people, in my opinion, in the early time of after Adam was Enoch. He only had to sweat for 365 years, whereas everybody else had to do it for 900 years. I'm not made for sweating. I'm sweating now. When I get back to the bishops, somebody's going to have to help me get this shirt off because it's stuck to me. But you see, Jesus has given us a life with air conditioning. Amen? He's made it easy for us. You might say, well, that's not my case. Well, it can be your case because God is no respecter of persons. If he'll do it for me, a miserable, wretched, disgusting, depraved individual, not now. I'm not a sinner anymore. Are you a sinner? If you're a sinner, you've missed the point. Sinners don't go to heaven. You are the righteousness of God in Christ if you've been born of God. You can sin in your flesh, but you do not naturally sin because God has taken away the power of sin over your life. Don't ever call yourself a sinner. Call yourself a saint. If it makes you feel better, say saved by grace. But don't call yourself a sinner. You are an heir, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Whoops. Is Jesus Christ a sinner? As he is, so are we in this world. It's an insult to the gospel. It's saying that God's only done half the job. He's done something that it's okay for eternity, but that's when we die. No, it isn't. It's now. Eternity's already started. Hallelujah. Eternity isn't restricted by our concept. And the Word of God tells us these things. We need to agree with God. Don't be religious. Don't be bound by traditions of men. Love the Word. Feast on the Word. Every night when I go to bed, 90% of the time when I go to bed at night, I listen to the Word all night while I'm sleeping. Hallelujah. I've done it for 20 odd years. I love the Word. It's transformed my life. My wife has, she's kicked me out of the bedroom now because of my snoring. She's told me when I lose 3.5 stone, I can go back. But oh, losing 3.5 stone is so tough, as you know, if you've tried. Oh, Gloria, I need you to teach me to dance. I can be like you, I can be him. Hallelujah. But I'm in the spare bedroom, so I listen to the Bible blasting out of my iPad every night. When I was in bed, I used to hear it through my hearing aid, an induction loop. And she used to kick me when I was waking her up, and then would wake up and I'd get a few minutes of the Word before I fell back to sleep. It was great to be woken up in the night by my wife so I could hear the Bible. Hallelujah. Do you love the Word? Well, let me tell you, give you some advice. Close down the Old Testament for 1 month. You talked about taking somebody here for a year and joining this church. The Old Testament is wonderful, 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 wonderful. I love the stories. I love even using Daniel 11:32. I love the stories, but I don't love the law because the law is not for me. The law will bind you. But the covenant of grace will set you free. When I got saved, I knew I was right with God. I had to go to church to be told I was a sinner. There's something wrong there, isn't there? Isn't there? There's something wrong when you feel clean and you go to church and you feel dirty. And I don't believe that happens here. I've spoken with the bishop. I know where he's coming from. I wouldn't be here probably after what I said to him if we weren't on the same wavelength. Don't be bound. In fact, where did the New Testament start? Which book? Somebody shout it out loud. Acts of the Apostles. Absolutely, chapter 2. The Gospels are not the New Testament. So when Jesus is speaking, he's speaking to the Jews and he's speaking under the Old Testament. So you need to read that in the light of that. Now, of course, much of it is relevant. He operated the way we can operate. But he fulfilled the law on the cross. And it's been taken away. We've got this new dispensation. And it was pretty tough for Peter to take a hold of. 3 times he had to see this vision of this stuff coming down from heaven, this unclean stuff, before God said, what I call clean, don't you call unclean. Are you clean? Yes! When you clean your teeth in the morning, say, I am righteous in Christ, hallelujah, born of God, cannot sin. What? Cannot sin? That's what it says in 1 John. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not, for his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. You say, how does that make sense? I'll tell you how it makes sense. Read 1 John 5 at the end. It says there's 2 types of sin. There's sin unto death and there's sin not unto death. The sin unto death, he said, we won't talk about that, but the sin that's not unto death. That's the sins of the flesh. Those are not, you don't go to hell for smoking. You just smell like you've been there. I'll say that again. You don't go to hell for smoking. You just smell like you've been there. Uh-huh. Good. Oh, by the way, I don't drink alcohol, so you're safe, but I'm safe. But the Bible does not say you should not drink. It says you should not get drunk. I go into pubs to lead people to Christ. I went into a pub. Have I got 5 minutes? Is that right? 5 minutes? Yep. Okay, I like to be one of the people who invited me. I'm sure it's increased, by the way. It's amazing. I like that clock. It goes backwards, like the sun. Yeah. I went to a men's meeting in Salisbury. I had to get permission to go. But fortunately, I've kept my head down for a long time in my city, so these people didn't know me. So I went along. It's Anglican Church. There are doctors, and there's, I don't know, accountants and scientists and intelligent, educated people, but they've got wafer-thin spirituality. And they're talking absolute rubbish. I went to this particular meeting, and they said, we're going to talk about how we witness to people tonight. Now, I'm sat there trying to behave myself, all right? And I hear this. We must be careful that we don't offend people, because if we do, they won't want to listen to us. And I can't keep quiet. The Bible says the gospel is an offense to those who are perishing. Whoops. Quiet down for a bit. We don't want people to dislike us, because then they won't listen to us. You'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. 10 o'clock came. They were very glad it was time for me to go. And I went with a young man who knew me and kept... I think he brought me in. He actually invited me in the first place. I think he was having a bit of an inward chuckle because he knew what I was like. And he was enjoying their pain, you see. So when we left, I was going to give him a lift home and I went the wrong way. And he said, is this the way to my house? I said, oh, sorry, I wasn't thinking. He said, why don't we go to the pub? I said, sure. So we went to the pub and we ordered 2 coffees. Is that okay? I don't drink alcohol. If I did, I would have ordered something alcoholic, but I don't drink. I've said to the Lord, I'll never drink alcohol again in this life. So we get our 2 coffees and we're sat down drinking them. And I carry on the conversation with him about this meeting. And I said to him, I don't care if people hate me for preaching the gospel. I expect them to. And this elderly gentleman's walking past, and all he heard was, I don't care if people hate me. So he stopped. He said, excuse me. I said, yes, sir. He said, I heard you say you don't care if people hate you. Now, I could tell by the look of his eyes I was about to get a lecture. And I said, yes, that's what I said. But in the context of, for preaching to them to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is an offense to those who are perishing. And he went, oh. But he didn't walk away. And we carried on talking for about 5-10 minutes. And then I said to him, sir, why don't you take a seat? Said the spider to the fly. Wally, if you're watching this, bless you, my brother. That's a clue. About 5-10 minutes later, he's sharing with us about he's been involved in various theatres of war in the army. And I believe that he was riddled with guilt by some of the things that either he'd done or had happened on his watch. And then I just said to him, are you going to go and get another drink from the bar? And he said, yes. I said, when you come back, I guarantee the Lord's going to reveal himself to you. Oh. Whoops. Lord, just want to put an order in for you to reveal yourself to this guy. I didn't. It came out of my spirit. I didn't think it in my head. I just said it. So he goes and gets a drink and he comes back and we talk for another 5 minutes. I said, may I pray with you? And he said, sure. And when I started praying with him, the Holy Ghost revealed Jesus to him. And this man in his late 60s, there and then, the pub has been closed for 45 minutes by now. The only person there is the barman listening, earwigging. What? He doesn't say, ding, ding, I want to go home. He's just sat there listening, and I'm leading this man to Christ. And he receives Jesus there and then. I'm in contact with him from time to time. He's progressing slowly, but he's like the thief on the cross in a sense. He's received the Lord at the latter part of his life. He may not be as useful for the kingdom, but Jesus died for him. The point is, could you have done that? You could, but don't not go to places where sinners are. Put yourself in the line of sinners. Amen? Jesus was a what? A friend of sinners. My time is up. Let's stand to our feet. Please. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Dear Heavenly Father, you've heard the words that I've spoken today, and I pray that those which are of you will have settled in the hearts of your people. I pray for young people here today, Father. I pray that they will not become embroiled in the things of this world, that they will not seek after those things which perish with the using. But I pray that they will seek after your kingdom and your righteousness, that they will put treasure in heaven. Father, I pray you will stir them up by your spirit in the inner man. Lord, they will desire above all else that they might be fruitful as they abide in you. That they will abide in you and your word will abide in them and they will produce much fruit because your word declares that this is to our Father's glory. Father, make us focused in this generation. Focused on your kingdom, not focused on the world's offerings. Lord, keep us from temptation. Hallelujah. You said temptations will come. Woe to him by whom they come. Well, Father, keep us from the hour of temptation. Father, I pray, Lord, that now, if there's young people here, if there's elder people here, it doesn't matter how old we are, if you have been touched by this message today, and you say, yes, Lord, I don't want to live like a mere man in the futility of my thinking one day more. I want to live as I am, as a child of the living God. Yes, I may be a baby at the moment, even though I'm many years that I've been a believer. But Lord, now that I've heard that there's a maturity available to me, I pray, Father, you'll bring me into that knowledge of you. That the grace and peace be multiplied in my life through the knowledge of you and of Jesus our Lord, who has given us unto us all things, not some things, not most things, but all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge, the revealed knowledge of him who has called us to a life of glory and virtue. You've given us exceeding great and precious promises that by these we might be partakers of your nature, having already escaped the corruption in the world through lust. Father, I pray you will grant this revelation to your people here today, that they will know that they know that they know that they know that these things apply to them. Hallelujah! Amen. And the birds will not come to steal this word which has been sown in their hearts. I pray that they will bury this word in their hearts, that when persecution and affliction arise for the word's sake, they will not be offended, but they will produce 30, 60, 100. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your people today. Thank you for stirring us up, Father. Thank you for stirring me up. And I just want to appeal to one more group. Is there anybody here today who you've been listening to this and it's been sounding wonderful, but you can't partake of it because you haven't entered through the door? Jesus said, I am the gate. You can only come into the kingdom through Jesus. It doesn't matter what you've been told. In fact, he told the story of a wedding. There was all these people in the wedding wearing wedding garments, but there was one man who was not wearing a wedding garment. And he went to him and he said, friend, basically, what are you doing here? How did you get in? And this man had nothing to say. He was speechless because he realized that he was naked. And the Lord said, bind him and cast him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm not trying to scare you today. I'm telling you that there's only two places to be, in the kingdom or out of the kingdom. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know that your sins are forgiven, if you don't know the peace of God which passes all understanding, God in your heart and mind in Christ, if you don't know the joy of the Lord which is your strength, or maybe you've known in the past and you've fallen back, well, God says, I don't want backsliders, I want forward sliders. If that's you today, let's bow our heads. If that's you today, if you say, Jesus, please come into my life. That's what you want. I want you to raise your hand now. I want you to raise your hand. Is that you? Or if you've been walking with God, and this isn't to bring condemnation, but if you've walked with God but you know you're not walking with him now, I want you to raise your hand. Is there anyone here? We had three precious souls in the first service that responded to the gospel. One of whom was a former Muslim. Hallelujah. You're doing a good work. So everyone in this place is washed in the blood. Sanctified. Amen. Thank God for that. So now, brothers and sisters, we move on in his purposes. Amen. And we see his glory. I'm going to hear good reports about this fellowship. And I don't say that very often. And I truthfully don't say that very often. But I think you are beautiful people. I think you have a beautiful fellowship. But God's got a purpose for you. To whom much is given, much is required. Thank you so much. And God bless you. In Jesus' name.